President Biden is calling for a complete investigation into the shooting death of Dante Wright, a black man killed over the weekend by a police officer during a traffic stop. The officer is shown on video saying she mistakenly shot Wright instead of using a taser. Here's the president speaking yesterday at the White House.
We're calling for peace and calm, and we should listen to Dante's mom, who is calling for peace and calm.
It was not calm in Brooklyn Center last night, with police clashing with protesters there for a second night. And let's bring in Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University, for more on the president's remarks and the push for federal police reform. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Julian, President Biden's message is kind of a reminder of the president's role during times like this. They historically serve as a symbol of unity to give a message that helps the country unite. But this issue of police use of force, this constant killing of black men and women by police, at this point, a lot of Americans are feeling it's going to take a lot more than words. Just a few days ago, we learned the White House is putting the creation of a National Police Oversight Commission on hold. So, Julian, at this point, what is the president's role in the context of this call for federal police reform?
Look, it's important for the president to build support for reform and to use the bully pulpit to get on the right side of a debate. But the Department of Justice needs to be involved in tackling these questions at the state and local level. We do need possibly federal investigation or commissions. And finally, this has to be on the president's legislative agenda. It's as urgent as the American Rescue Plan or the infrastructure bill. And I think this would be an important step for Biden to take in the coming months.
Yeah, and as we know, national police reform legislation in the U.S. Congress has stalled. How have past presidents, I'm thinking of Kennedy and Johnson specifically, responded to moments of racism when the force of the federal government was needed to enforce civil rights, for example?
Well, they used the bully pulpit. In March 1965, Lyndon Johnson spoke before Congress and the nation, calling on the country to embrace the cause of voting rights after civil rights protesters had been brutally beaten. They also used the DOJ. Even John F. Kennedy, who was very slow on civil rights legislation, did authorize DOJ to deal with integration in the University of Mississippi and Alabama and to start protecting civil rights protesters. And finally, they deal with it through legislation. Johnson followed up his speech after Bloody Sunday, not just with words, but with a voting rights bill that changed national policy. So they really need to work on all three realms simultaneously.
One thing I think you're referring to is the Kerner Commission. And that commission's report said that poverty and institutional racism were the driving causes of inner city violence. That report came out in 1968. I mean, what did it recommend and how is it applicable to today?
It recommended changing policing, less militarization of the police, more policing training, dealing with racism in the forces. And it also dealt with called for a Marshall Plan for the cities to end unemployment and create economic vitality. The problem was it came as conservatives were regaining power, and Johnson, mm-hmm. President Johnson, felt there was nothing he could do. So he doesn't really move forward with legislation. And Richard Nixon instead moves toward law and order. I think we can look back to the report. Biden can do that to see just how systemic and just how long-term these problems with policing are. And that just amplifies the need for a federal role in changing what citizens experience.
You know, every time there's something like a police shooting, we talk with you about this, Julian. I mean, knowing the history of this country and what we've been dealing with, where do you see this moment that we're at now? Do you think that we're at a moment where we're going to see real change in a measurable way?
I don't know. I mean, the history suggests that reform isn't very easy, and we go through these moments and nothing happens. I mean, the only positive developments are we do have a president who seems to be willing to be bold right now. He's doing things on other areas of policy that people said was impossible. And we also have a very vibrant Black Lives Matter movement that expanded greatly after the George Floyd killing that can keep putting pressure on legislators from the bottom up. So those are the sources that provide some optimism In addition to corporate support for
Julian,
ending
I'm
going
to have to stop you because we've run out of time. But thank you, Julian Zelizer, Princeton University, as always. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.